Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact with my associate, Joe Martin. And we have a really special guest today. I'm pretty excited about who we have joining us today, Kyle Kuhn, who is a blind paralegic triathlete. And the motivation just kind of speaks for itself for somebody who's able to kind of lead and come through. And he's got an incredible story. So before I get to that, I do want to say Happy New Year's. Joe. So Kyle, you're going to be the first one for 2025 on our podcast this year. So we're excited to kick you off with us in our new year. So welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me. And I'm so happy that you guys can only go up from here. You guys can only improve from here with me being the first guest of 2025. So, but no, real honor and thanks for having me.
No, listen, absolutely. No, we talk about challenges and adversity, and we all do go through things in life. And how we get and who we develop and who we become is a byproduct of how we deal with challenges, right? So, you know, with your story, you unfortunately lost your eyesight at a young age. So why don't you just kind of give our audience a little bit of a background to what happened and how that helped develop who you are?
Sure. So, like you said, I lost my sight at a very young age. I was actually 6 years old when I went totally blind. But my story starts a little bit back before then. So I was diagnosed with a rare form of eye cancer called bilateral sporadic retinoblastoma. Say that 10 times fast. when I was 10 months old, it basically... big fancy mouthful of words basically means that I had a rare non-hereditary form of eye cancer that attacked both of my retinas. My doctors caught it late, and there was talk about removing my eyes basically immediately. But my parents fortunately were put in touch with some of the leading experts in the world on retinoblastoma. They took me to see them, and that husband and wife doctor duo basically said we can preserve a little bit of sight for a while, and so that launched us off on this path of traveling around, back and forth between hospitals and doing a lot of treatment. And eventually, the cancer treatment itself just did such damage to my eyes themselves that I had to have my left eye removed when I was 5 years old, and then my right eye just before I turned seven. And, as most of us know who, have been 6 or 7 years old, or if you have kids out there, you know that kids are. I didn't really care about going blind. I was just like, Doc, can you just make me better so I can play outside with my friends? That was all I cared about. Like, who cares about blindness? I didn't really know what that. I kind of knew what it meant. I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't know that I was gonna have so many challenges and all that. It was just like, yeah. Cool. No eyeballs. Fake eyeballs. Whatever you want to say.
One way to look at it. Talk about some uplifting thoughts on that, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, but when I did, wake up in the hospital and I can't see a can't see a thing, it was scary. It was terrifying, and I didn't know how. I didn't know how I was going to play outside with my friends. I didn't know how I was going to go to school. I had been learning how to read and write in Braille. I had been, learning how to travel with a long white cane because we knew I was going to go blind eventually. We just didn't, have a clear idea when that was going to be. So my parents were smart and, put me in, schools with programs that could help me prepare for that eventuality. But it was still, no matter how much you prepare for something, it's still a shock to the system. And so I was very fortunate though that, through the power of connection and, just word of mouth, my dad was in Rotary and got connected with a gentleman named Ed Weinmayer, who his son, Eric Weinmayer, was a world-class adventure athlete who happened to be totally blind. And Ed lived, you know, not far away from us, and he arranged for Eric to come into town for a speaking engagement. And during that after that speaking engagement, Eric sat down with me, little 7-8-year-old kid, and just told me his story and basically challenged me to not let blindness define, not let it be a hindrance to me pursuing a life full of adventure. And I took it to heart and went on to do some pretty neat things.
How fortunate to have somebody come into your life at such an early age, right? And kind of call you to it and say, hey, look, this happened to you, but it doesn't define you, right? And you were able to receive that. Like, that could have gone in any different direction, but you were open to hear that. And that's massive.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you guys given advice for entirely the wrong reason? Or for entirely the wrong problem? It's great advice, but it might not be something that someone is ready to hear or needs to hear, or they might not be ready to take action on it. I happen to be it was the right time. It was the right person. It was someone that knew my situation. Eric was that person, was the right person at the right time and knew the right things to say. To push, me, this little 7-8-year-old kid, into a different mindset. And I, as a 7 or 8-year-old kid, I was too young to know any better. So, Eric told me, hey, try rock climbing. So I just went and did it. if I had been, now I'm 33 years old, if I had been 33 and just lost my sight and, some blind dude like rolls into town and is like, go try rock climbing, live a life of adventure. my experience as a, as a 33, as someone who's 33, I might not be as open to that, but as a newbie, as a kid, I was open to that. I wanted to do something cool and adventurous and live that daring life.
There is something pretty special about the resiliency of youth.
Yes, there is. It's kids that, I don't know if kids are without fear, but they're more resilient. They, they bounce back, they spring back into shape, better. And, they just, they're curious. They're relentless. And, I, as a little kid, I decided I wasn't going to take no for an answer. And so I, went on to just, push myself in all different directions. And, the people that I wound up becoming friends with were of the very same mindset. And, that's who I decided to surround myself with, was people who wanted to live that adventurous life and who wanted to push each other to reach bigger and better and newer, more adventurous heights.
Kyle, for those listening, there's two themes just in the first 7 years of your life that I think pulls true for anybody in entrepreneurship or even just their personal life with challenge. And I give you kudos on two big things that I think literally, there is a paralyzation of people with dealing with the unknown. Like, you had a story of, what is blindness? Like, you can prep me for all like the ideas and concept of blindness, but until you're in those shoes, you don't really know what blindness is. And I think you touched base on a little bit of that with people's relatability being like, yeah, you can talk to me about it, but you've never experienced it. And you're not really going to know what blindness is until you're in those shoes. And I think what I'm interested in on that one is, how did you prep knowing it was coming, hadn't come yet, and there's really no way to like beta test yourself to be like, this is what blindness is like when you
How did you prep your mindset on the impending coming of that and still being able to move forward? Because I think that's where the parallelization is like, hey, there's this unknown. I know it's coming. I don't know how to prep for it. How did you do that? Like, if you're looking back on it.
I mean, look, I was a 4 or 5, you know, I was 3, 4, 5 year old kid at that point. I wasn't some, you know, preparation savant. I just did what I just did what my parents and teachers told me. And then, you know, look, my, you know, my, I had great teachers. I had great parents who said, you know, who said, you're going to learn this. It will help you. And like, and again, like I was learning how to read and write in Braille, right alongside, you know, learning to read and write in print. And you know, I had teachers that, that made it fun for me. You know, it was a normal thing. I went to, you know, the kids in school, you know, we had, I went to a mainstream school for elementary, middle and high school. And, you know, in middle and high school, I was, you know, I was the only, you know, totally blind kid in school. But in, you know, in elementary school, you know, there, we had, you know, other kids with visual impairments and it was just a normal, it was normal. And so we, you know, and then my parents just, my parents, you know, basically told me that I was going to, I was not going to let my blindness be, an excuse. And they held me accountable. So I don't know, you know, looking back on it, if I did anything particularly special myself, I did the basics. I did the basics of, you know, learning, absorbing, and putting things into practice. And that made the transition to being totally blind easier. Being totally blind is not easy. It is incredibly challenging. It is incredibly hard. I actually think it's harder now as an adult being totally blind than it was as a kid. You know, because, you know, now I am, you know, navigating, the world is a whole lot bigger. It's, you know, I'm navigating, you know, there are more challenges out there than my small little world of being a, you know, being an elementary, middle or high school kid. So, you know, cause now I have to make a living. I have to, you know, go out and, you know, Matt, you know, it's all on me now. It's all on my shoulders. Whereas, you know, as a kid, we rely so heavily on our parents, on our caretakers, our caregivers. And, you know, now it's up to me. So, but yeah, I don't know if I just did what I was told. I just did the basics to, you know, I just did them to a really, really high standard as long as I possibly could.
You
brought up this one. I just want to land this one, Dave. You answered the question amazingly, Kyle, because the actual thing that I took from what you just shared, you're like, hey, I didn't have a choice. Like when you don't have a choice, like you just do what you're told. And I think the power of like, if I reflect on it from my world, I'm like, you just reinforce the power of your tribe. That like your environment, the people you're around can make or break like what you do and your mindset around it. And I think that's a huge takeaway that like, hey, you couldn't have done it alone, but if it wasn't for your tribe and environment, like you wouldn't have had that mindset. You wouldn't have had that focus of like, you know, is it the yin or yang, which side of the coin are you looking at? And then I think the other takeaway that I'm really taking notes here as you're talking is like the concept behind ignorance is that if you don't know anything different, you've got no fear on it. And that's just what it is. So like, if you don't have something to compare it to, you know, nothing different. So you go for it, right? Like if you brought up rock climbing, like, I don't know any different from it. I'm just going to go. There's no fear. And that ignorance is bliss at times can actually help you unlock limitlessness because you don't have this other limiting belief that someone else has imposed upon you because you just took action on it and moved forward. And I think those are two like incredible things that you got exposed to very early on in your life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely got exposed to that, you know, those ways of thinking very early on, and that became just embedded in me. And that's not to say that, you know, as I grew up, I definitely developed, you know, fear. There's definitely fear there. I had one climbing mentor way back in the day, that told me ambition, you got ambition and you got fear. Ambition is this overwhelming desire that you're going to get to the top. You want to reach it. Fear, it will keep you alive, you know, especially in the mountains. how many times have you guys seen that, that flip chart or whatever that, entrepreneurs or, people, put up there? It's like fear, false evidence appearing real. No, it's F everything and run, guys. That's what it really means.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Oh, I love your mindset. And I'm going to backpedal for a minute because you said something. She'd be like, hey, I didn't have a choice. Here's the thing. You 100% made a choice.
Of course I did.
Right? That's like, I think a lot of people say that and they go through things like, hey, and when you look at the success stories, but there's as many non-success stories for people that go through things. And you have a choice to decide, is this going to define me or am I going to figure out who I am?
Yep.
And that means so much when you hear it come from somebody.
Yeah, my friend and paratriathlon teammate Melissa Stockwell wrote a great book called The Power of Choice, and it speaks to that. Like, we have choices in life, whether you decide to do or you decide to not, you've made a choice, And I say that I didn't have a choice as a kid because, as kids, we all, we make the choice to whether listen to our parents or not. And there were sometimes I chose to listen to my parents. There were sometimes I chose not to listen to my parents. And, as we all do, there are times that, I choose to, listen and take the advice of mentors and aspirational peers. There are times when I decide not to, so it's, we all have choices, and it's up to us to maximize those choices, to make good choices, and elevate those from good to great choices, and to learn from the mistakes and the choices that we made that maybe didn't turn out so good.
You know, when I look at somebody through you and the journey of having to experience that early on, but then making the choice to go the road less traveled, essentially through athletics and all the different things that you've kind of embraced in your world, there's one thing that kind of keeps creeping into my mind. It's one thing to trust yourself and make a choice to do something. But in your position, right, the incredible need to trust others is incredible. Like, how do you put yourself in a position? Because you talk about fear and you talk about choice, but you have to make a decision, a choice of trust above and beyond what a lot of people have to experience in life. How was that for you? And how did you come to decide these are my people when Joe references your tribe?
Yeah. So we seem to have settled on this idea of choice, and, we choose to build and put the people in place around us. For me, I was really into, adventure. I was really into rock climbing. I was really into, skiing and adventuring. And, eventually you wind up around people that like that kind of stuff. And, out of all those people that, sometimes you just got to throw it out there and ask, like, hey, you want to go climbing with a blind guy? Hey, you want to bomb downhill at, 30, 50, 40 miles an hour on skis with a blind guy? Hey, you want to, go out for a run? I have no idea what I'm doing. But you got to just be curious. You got to be willing to ask questions. You got to be open to the idea that people are going to say, no, I don't want to do that. And you're just like, okay, I'll just go on and find the next person. In terms of trust, look, I can't see a thing. And if I wanted to live, a full and adventure filled life, if I wanted to go and explore the world, if I wanted to climb mountains, if I wanted to, swim, bike, and run at an elite level, I knew that I was going to have people that could see, that could guide me, and that could help keep me safe. And so I sought those people out. I researched, I plugged myself into communities, and I just showed up and was like, hey, I'm here. Let's do this. And there are a lot of times when I've been rejected for, you get rejection and you get used to it. There are, not everyone is comfortable or wants to guide someone on skis, or, be on the front of a tandem bike, or, go for a run, or, tether yourself to, someone climbing in the mountains. It's not for everybody, but when you find the right people, it's really amazing what you can do together.
I am going to write on my board in my office the FEAR, an acronym of F everything and run, because you chose adventure, and then your mantra of just F everything and run means, like, you use the skiing analogy, and I'm thinking to myself, there might be some benefit in not being able to see, because there's some mountains I've gone down and I've been like, whoop, I chose the wrong mountain on today, so there might be some better things on that one. But, like, I love what you said there. It was just, like, the power of choice, and then, like, I heard, like, you choose your tribe, you choose your situation, you choose your outcomes, and you chose adventure, and then F everything and run towards it. Like, someone says no, all right, F it, I'm on to the next one, I'm on to the next one. I think, like, that's a great mantra, motto for people, especially in the people that listen to this podcast, for their industry that they're in as entrepreneurs, is that, like, more often than not, you're getting told no. But yeah, if you chose this outcome that you want to fulfill in your life, like, you got to have that background and kind of, like, confidence to say, well, F it, you're not going to be in my world, then I'm going to go to the next person that wants to entail in that adventure. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it look, sometimes no just means not right now. There have been, back in, let's see, what was it, like 2017, 2018, 2019, back then, I shot some messages to some, pretty well-known elite triathletes in the world when I was looking for people to guide me, for training and racing, and they just ignored me because they looked at me and they were like, man, this blind dude, like, he's slow. I don't really want to go that slow. And then after a few years, after I put together some results, I went back to those people and was like, hey, you may not remember me, but I sent you a message a year or two ago and you never responded. So I'm guessing you just never got around to reading it, but I'm looking for, someone to bike and run with. You open to try that? And then, 5 minutes later, I get a message. Hey, yeah, I remember you. Let's go for a run. So, sometimes it just means not right now. So you just gotta be, persistent. You gotta be willing to, open yourself up and, just keep trying, just keep trying for it.
The communication angle, right? And the way that you've kind of made decisions through your life and how you've outreached to people, but the decisions that you've made, right? There's one thing to have energy and fun, right? To choose rock climbing, to choose skiing, or to run, or to be, but the level of dedication above and beyond that to say, you know, okay, beyond that, I'm a world athlete. Like I want to go to another level. So your mindset, so what, how did you get there? Like what took you from, I enjoy this to going, I'm going to master this.
We're going to have to rewind a little bit because I, you know, so back in 2013, I graduated from college when I was 21 years old. And at the time, I was not interested in pursuing sport to a high level. I had, you know, I had done rock climbing. I had, you know, been a big time adventure athlete, you know, done a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, but I was, you know, and then I wrestled in high school and college, but I graduated from college and I grew up in that era of the young hotshot entrepreneur CEO type people. And, you know, when I was 21 years old, I was a very arrogant kid. And I was so arrogant.
I love that, like, you own that. That is just so awesome.